This is a man that needs no introduction.
Who is this guy?
The most knowledgeable columnist in the city of Pittsburgh.
Some in our audience don't know the finer points of hockey.
He goes by only one name.
Hotter than Bond, cooler than Bullet. Shaft.
No, it's not Shaft. It's Rossi. And he's here right now on Trip Live Radio.
Time for our wild card, Rossi, troop columnist extraordinaire. Wild card Wednesday, Rossi. Should this be a three-game series? Are you one of those that are buying into some of the chat about the format and changing it going forward?
Yeah, I've never liked the wild card format. I don't think it's fair. I think it's completely inconsistent with everything baseball does for 6 months. They play series, and then they ask these teams to play one game. I think it's incredibly unfair. I also don't like that they don't reseed. I actually think that's more unfair. I think it's brutal that the Cardinals are guaranteed to play either the second or third best record when they won 100 games and had the best record. And there's a lot of flaws with this format, but it is a big generator in terms of revenue. I think Clint Hurdle addressed that yesterday. It's a huge attention grabber because you start with an elimination game. It's not fair at all, though, and I think if you see a team like the Pirates now lose a second year in a row, you might at least start the conversations going. I think if you see a team like the Cubs lose, you might start the conversations going. And since we're going to see one of those teams lose, I think the conversation is going to get going. Whether it goes anywhere, I don't know how Major League Baseball fixes this, guys, unless they seriously consider expanding by two teams and trying to come up with a new division format, because there's no way to do this without adding a lot more teams. And you're going to have to figure out at that point whether you just want to split into four divisions in 2 weeks.
I think it's a good idea, Rob. I think it's something they should do, whether it's trimming the season by six games or packing in some planned doubleheaders. I'm all in favor of it. I agree that it's too drastic of a change from the way baseball is kind of set up to be played for the postseason and how you got there in the first place to just simply make it a one-gamer. Now, as Guy points out, and it's a good point, we're making this case right now because two really good teams are coming from the same division or even from the same league. The dawn might come up on a day where there's two wild card teams that are, you know, like 85, 86 win teams. And
Tim, look at the American League. Those weren't two great teams.
Do we need to really see two out of three from the Houston Astros and Yankees? Not after what I saw last night, anyway.
Look, my biggest criticism of it, guys, and Tim, you hit on it, is it's just not baseball. It's not a way to determine who the better team is. I talked to Neil Huntington about this Sunday at the Pirates game. I said, you build your team for 162 games, and those 162 games are series. And he goes, yeah, and that's how you have to build your team. I said, and then you go literally from a one-game playoff perhaps to a three-game, for five-game series to a seven. I said, it's the whole playoff format does not make sense. And it's the only league of the four professionals that still has this many inconsistencies with every round. The NBA plays seven games throughout now. So does the NHL. The NFL plays one-game playoffs. Baseball is bizarrely different with every round you go to when you consider that the World Series always features one of the teams playing under rules that it doesn't normally play.
What about the roster tonight, Rossi? What are you expecting from Hurdle? Did you get any tells yesterday?
Well, the interesting thing is they had Pedro Alvarez taking balls at third base. I wondered what that was. We were all kind of watching the work yesterday going, where did that come from? Like, why is Pedro taking fielding practice at third base? I don't think there'd be anything more stunning than to see him.
Just had him throwing from over there.
Yeah. I don't think. I mean, I think we'll see. I think we'll see a very similar lineup to what we see. I think the one thing we might see, maybe he was tipping his hand, maybe he wasn't. I know that, I think you were telling me that Madden had guys practicing bunting fielding. I think you are going to see them try early on to do some things that they haven't done before in terms of, just getting the bat on the ball, maybe getting Arrieta to run around a little bit out there in terms of the bunt. And I would favor that because I think anything you can do to disrupt his normal thought process is probably good, because it's tough to tell at a press conference. That guy looked as locked in as I've seen a guy look. I mean, he just looks like he doesn't care who he plays. Like, he could go out there and play a team full of Saints and Angels right now, and he'd mow them down. So I think the Pirates are going to have to try something.
How good can Cole be, though, on the other end, Rob?
Oh, I think Cole can match him. I really do. And I don't think I don't know if Cole's going to match him as easily, but I think Gerrit Cole's been waiting a long time to pitch this game. I wrote about that today in my column, guys, about how I remember the way he looked after that loss last year in San Francisco. He looked just disgusted beyond words. I think he's going to find a way to gut out scoreless inning for scoreless inning tonight. I don't think it's going to be easy at times, but I think the extra day is also going to give him a little more juice on his fastball because he's had a little more rest. I'll have a week rest now. I think Gerrit Cole is going to be real good tonight. I think he's going to be real tough to beat tonight.
Rob Rossi, our trip columnist here with Ken, Tim, and Guy.
Rob, if you had to pick the odd guy out, who is it out of the starting lineup?
That's a great question. Who would I want to see it be, or who would I make it? I think the odd guy out may be Pedro Alvarez. I just get the feeling that they're going to be a little bit wary right now of what he has at first base, and if he makes a mistake to cost them in this game. So I think you might see Ramirez there, or you might see somebody else there. But I think they're going to be real wary about that. It wouldn't be what I would do. I'd play him, because in this game, one swing can mean a lot. I think I might be tempted to take Gregory Polanco out of the lineup and put Josh Harrison to right field, because I'm scared of Polanco's fielding right now. But
you're scared of his fielding or his base running?
I don't think going to do that.
His fielding or his base running, Rob?
Or both?
Both, yeah. I'd be more scared of his base running than his fielding, but his fielding would worry me just because he's had a lot of gaffes out there, and you know who knows how that could change things. But yeah, the base running too. I mean, in these type of games, it's easy to see us all talking tomorrow morning about them losing because of something he did, rounding second or trying to go to third on a play, or just not getting to a ball in right field. So yeah, that'd be the concern I would have.
How about the pressure on McCutchen tonight, Rossi? What do you think he's got to do to silence critics, if there are any, after this game?
I think Andrew's got to, if given a shot, if they pitch to Andrew, I think Andrew's got to do something with the pitches. That means they have to hit a home run every at bat, but he's got to get on base. He's got to do some things on the base to create some havoc. If he gets pitched to, and they're not going around him, and I do think in September there are a lot of teams that pitched around him for the most part, especially after the gong injury. But if Andrew gets pitches to hit, he's got to put the ball in play. He's got to do something, because otherwise we're going to be talking about three straight pro seasons where none of us notice Andrew McCutchen. It's not quite the Bonds comparison because, let's face it, he's not Barry Bonds. And also Barry had, 20-some games, and I think this is Andrew's ace. But still, it's noticeable that we haven't noticed him if it continues that trend.
Atmosphere-wise tonight, expecting as good as the last 2 years?
I think it will be better than last year. I don't think anything will ever top 2 years ago. That is a crowd that I don't think Pittsburgh has experienced in 40 years, and I don't think they will again. But I do think there will be some Cubs fans in here. I think it could be a very nervous crowd tonight. I'm very interested to see who gets into the building tonight, because I have sensed a lot of negativity from the fan base for weeks now about the possibility of this game, and I know a lot of people that were able to get tickets the last couple of days. That tells me people were moving seats. That tells me Chicago fans had seats available if they wanted them. So it's going to be real interesting to see, because we've come to think of the blackout crowd as this sort of overwhelming home field advantage, and that may not actually be the case, depending on how many Pittsburghers tried to sell their tickets.
Yeah, you can only have 20 years of pent-up frustration every 20 years.
Give them time.
Now you can just get 3 years of pent-up frustration.
Yeah.
And then Rob...
Let's face it. I mean, Pittsburgh crowds, guys, I mean, you know, I've been hard on them lately for a lot of things, but they are, I think, Steeler crowds in the playoffs, I think Penguins crowds certainly in the playoffs, and maybe a Tiger crowd tonight, they have been nervous crowds, and that hasn't always been good for their teams.
Well, I think if you, when you've won, when you've had the success that the Penguins and the Steelers have had, it's easy to be that way when you're expected to win. What made 2 years ago, it was just gravy. If they'd have lost that game 2 years ago, 8-0, the people still would have been having a great time. But most of them thought they would never see another postseason game, that the Pirates would never be significant again. And that had an effect on their attitude and ultimately probably the outcome of the game. Now it's a different expectation. They're glad to be there, but they want to go further, and I think that's going to cause some nervousness. I think you're right.
Yeah.
And I could see Arrieta, even if it's scoreless for four or five innings, it's going to remain a nervous crowd and not a boisterous crowd.
Most nervous crowd I've ever covered a game in front of, or a while around, I guess, was Game 5 of the 2013 opening round for the Penguins. They were tied 2-2 against the Islanders. And before Tyler Kennedy scored that goal, I thought it was the weirdest environment I had been in, because it started off nervous, and then you kind of got this sense that the Penguins fans had shown up ready to send that team off into the depths of hell. And if Kennedy scored, and it was like a cork popped, and everybody just took a big sigh of relief. I get the feeling tonight that the most interesting thing we could see, and I'm not sure, Tim, if you agree with this, but if the Pirates would score one early and that crowd would get into it, I would be interested to see how Arrieta handles it, because he has just not been in that situation for months.
Oh, I buy that. Yeah, absolutely.
So it would be from a theater standpoint, that's what I want to see. I would like to see Arrieta give up one early, get that crowd into it, and just see how good we can see he rises to that occasion.
If they get one early, or it's scoreless through four or five, it'll just be the crowd. The game will just be fulfilling the crowd's fears.
Yeah, which is weird, because I think if it's scoreless through four or five, that's a big advantage for the Pirates. I think as long as the Pirates play them even later into the game, I think it's a huge advantage for them, because at some point Arrieta's going to come out of the game, and once it goes to the bullpen, I give the Pirates a big advantage, assuming Hurdle doesn't get it. A question I wanted to ask Hurdle yesterday, and I couldn't get the microphone, was, and I'm sure he wouldn't have answered because it's a hypothetical, but, if you're going into the seventh inning and it's 0-0 and your guy's got a lot of pitches, but he's pitching well, do you go to your bullpen setup, or do you just keep riding him? Because I think you keep riding him until you have the lead.
That's a great question. We were talking about that with Liriano on the roster, when or if you would use him against maybe Rizzo for a matchup or some other guys. And also, to Arrieta's point, he made it through seven innings on 84 pitches, so he could have gone easily nine the last start.
Yeah.
I don't like Liriano coming in even in a matchup situation, Ken. He's not built to do that. He hasn't done it before. He's a tendency to be kind of wild. He seems like in the first inning he has to find himself. I think bringing him in with a bases loaded or a couple of guys on in that situation is not wise.
I think you have Liriano on this roster solely and only if something goes wrong with Cole in the first inning in terms of an injury.
Right.
Right.
That's exactly.
Yeah.
Wise words. Last question, Rossi. Tougher on Chicago fans who are going to watch the Blackhawks raise their banner but yet have the Cubs game on, or Doc Emmerich, who's calling the game, noted Pirates fan who's not going to be able to watch tonight in Chicago?
I've been with Doc when the Pirates are playing big games and he's covering a game. And I'll tell you this, he'll have more of an idea what's going on in this one than he will at the game on NBC.
Great to hear. See you tonight.
Take care, guys. Enjoy it.
Yep.
All right, Rob Rossi will be, of course, over there at PNC with the rest of Team Total Media, Trib style.
And I think they're baseball fans. I mean, I think they can be more relaxed. This is a young team. They have five rookies on this team playing significant roles. This team's going to be good for a while. I think the nervousness of the Pirate crowd, this is the third year now. Are they ever going to get any further than this? What's the future hold? I think the Cubs are more, if I had to bet on one of these two teams being significant the next 3 years, I'd bet on the Cubs.
Oh, yeah. No doubt about that.
I mean, so they can be a little more relaxed. They mostly... Most of the people in Chicago felt that this would be next year, 97 wins, not this year.
Keep in mind that phrase they used last night over and over again during the Astros-Yankees game. People kept saying that the Astros arrived a few years early. I think the Cubs arrived about a year early.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
I think that they fall into that category to a certain point.
Yeah, it feels like ahead of their time, but that doesn't mean it won't happen, right? The Penguins won before we thought they would, and haven't won since, so sometimes youth can drive you there. There are a lot of Cubs fans in the media, in the national media. Kevin Negandhi from ESPN. I don't know if this is jag on or jag off of the week. The Cubs play tonight at 7:08 Central Time, which is 1908 military time. 1908 being the last World Series win, 107 years ago today, and it's 10-7.
What's 10-7?
Today's date, October 7th.
But what was 10-7? 10-7 was a score or something?
No, 107 years ago today.
Oh, 107
today,
years ago.
World Series
all right.
Win. Spooky.
To reach.
Then again, yesterday was the 70th anniversary of the Billy Goat Curse. And all goats live to be 70 years in one day. 2 days. SportsTalkAndTripWeb.com. I want to play this Garrett Cole soundbite talking about Pedro Alvarez as we were discussing the lineups there again, guys. And I think Pedro taking grounders at third, first of all, is that just a red herring? Or what? What would be the possible point of that? They couldn't possibly put him over there.
What would the thinking be? The thinking would then be what? Why would you bother putting him at third and Aram at first and Harrison in the outfield? Why would you do that? That's just backwards. I can't.
Just emergency in case.
Yeah, that's
Ramirez
the only thing I can think of is that somehow they find themselves in a situation where, yeah, he would have to go to third because they've already used Polanco for something else. And
see, I just think
I can't even come
gonna,
up in my
they
head.
They don't have a real first baseman that they're going to play. I mean, it's going to be Ramirez, or if you're going to play a guy who's not a real first baseman anyway, play the one with 27 home runs. That's just the way I look at it.
All right, well, we don't have that cut, actually, but we'll try to get it for you. But he basically said, I like Pedro in there. I think he's done a fine job.
Who, Cole?
Cole, yeah.
Yeah, Cole was supportive of Pedro at first base. And he said, I don't think he was, you know, I think he's doing fine at first, and I don't mind being athletic coming off the mound and going over and covering first base when I need to. Now, it's not even so much the plays at first involving pitchers, which, as we know from watching a lot of baseball this year, is a disaster more or less any time it happens. Mm-hmm. But it's just simply a throw from first base that he could drop for no particular reason.
It seemed to me this year that he's been highly frustrated when Pedro makes an error in the middle of his games, but I'm sure he is happy when he hits a homer. Granted, Arrieta's given up two since, like, July, two in his last 20 starts. So,
and that's the other thing that Cole said at the end of that soundbite was he tends to hit a lot of homers when I start,
mm-hmm.
Which I don't know if that's true or not. Maybe he just feels that way. But
Garrett also
it is
said,
true. He's hit seven home runs in his starts.
Seven in his starts. Yeah. So there you go.
Garrett also said Edison Volquez pitched his balls off last year, so I enjoyed that soundbite from Garrett.
Are the same balls that Jake Arrieta eats, according to his Wikipedia page?
Is that still up there?
There's a jag-off move from a Pirate fan.
He pitched them off, and Crawford hit one into the right field seats for a grand slam.
Jag-off of the week vote for Killer Chihuahua for Ryan Tannehill. He would like me to do a best impression I can here, so here we go. Ball game over. Season over. Yankees lose. The Yankees lose. And he says, Scooby Doby Poo is not a jag-off, he just sucks. So give me Ryan Tannehill this week for jag-off of the week.
Wow, your vote for Tannehill is definitely getting a lot of support, Ken. I'm impressed.
We're in a three-way tie with Scobie, Arrieta, and Tannehill.
And the Tyler Johnson tramp is nowhere to be found, huh?
She's got one vote from you.
How about the Diamondback girls?
None.
None? You know there will be a block of, like, CMU girls or Pick girls or, dare I say it, Josh, Duquesne girls who are doing exactly the same thing tonight. On their cell phones, taking selfies, yakking away, texting their boyfriend, texting the guy that they're screwing around behind their boyfriend.
Oh, my God,
Ben's
these nachos are so good.
Right, exactly. Let's take a picture of our beer. Let's put it on Facebook. Let's put it on Twitter. Let's put it on Instagram. And next thing you know, it's the fifth inning. The Pirates are up 8-0, and they have no idea what happened.
Hmm. Mike S. emails the show. He says,
their money spends, too.
Yeah. In regards to the Tomlin Colbert.
Not their money, it's daddy's.
Probably is. In regards to the Tomlin Colbert kicking fiasco, Mike writes, if the Steelers' new kicker was the right guy, why didn't they just get him after Swisham got hurt? Or is Tomlin just being Tomlin by saying what he said yesterday?
Just being Tomlin. You know, they went to other guys first because they thought they were better. Of course they did.
Mike also says, were you guys talking about the famous Randy Marsh from the South Park episode?
I just favorited a tweet not too long ago from our friend Rum Bunter,
who said, with all this Randy Marsh talk, I couldn't resist, and just sent a link with Randy Marsh getting arrested, black eye, in his underwear. 90% of the best South Park episodes heavily rely on Randy Marsh doing something stupid.
Who's tonight's home plate ump? I forget now.
Oh, I don't know.
Beer Temple had that info.
That's usually very important.
Jeff Nelson. Yeah.
Okay. Is he pitcher friendly? Is he hitter friendly? What do we know about Jeff Nelson?
He pitched the no-hitter this year. Umped the no-hitter.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, the Seattle Iwakuma. What's the guy's name?
Iwakuma.
Iwakuma's no-hitter. He was behind the
Cole platform. Is 2-0 with a 150 ERA, a 13-1 K-to-walk ratio with Jeff Nelson behind the plate. Wow.
Ooh.
Thank
career.
You, Josh Taylor.
Factoids. How about that, Taylor?
Do we know anything about what Arrieta is with that guy behind home plate? He has not pitched with Nelson behind home plate.
Ooh, unknown. I like this.
No, that's not an unknown. If Cole has those numbers, Arrieta's will be even better if he would have pitched with him. He would have thrown a perfect game.
How about these from Adam Berry? He wants some stats here on pitch usage from Arrieta. Last three starts against the Pirates, 50% fastballs, 30% slider slash cutter, whatever that slider cutter he adjusts the speed of. 10% curveballs, rest changeups. So mostly fastballs, 50-50 fastballs. Placed on the black, in and out, up and down, in expert fashion. But Cole's been damn good too, as we need to be reminded of. Brian W. says, Penn's roster decisions, guys, I know are back in people's minds, but what about Mata and Letang getting split up and Scuderi joining the top four on the right side per the recent combinations?
Yeah.
Got to bring Mata from Wilkes-Barre first.
Yeah, did you see that?
What was that about?
He's technically demoted. They did that to Bo Bennett a couple years
ago. Because they're so up against the cap and they can't put guys on injured list till today, and they had to get under the cap, so they had to send him down.
He's got a report, right? He actually has to go there. Isn't that correct?
I think so.
Like he literally has to show up.
If they don't make a deal coming up, they're going to have another cap disaster somewhere this year.
Five defensemen. What if they had five defensemen to start
looking
the year?
Looking at
like
this
first month?
That would be an improvement.
I should play the entire game with one defenseman. Just have a forward float back from time to time. Yeah, I'm pretty sure he actually has to report. I know that's a baseball rule. I know it's a baseball rule, but I don't know
about it. You can't just do it on paper?
Right. I think he actually has to go there. So poor Ole probably has really good seats for the game tonight. He has to go to friggin' Wheeling.
There's one guy we haven't talked about much at all. What is Mata going to have a huge year? Could you guys see him, if healthy, having a Letang-esque point total, like 50, 60 points this year? Or is that a little bit...
I think that's too much of a point total for him, but I do think he could have a great year if he stays healthy. I think he's a really good defenseman if he stays healthy and he stays away from the injury bug. As far as, you know, the moving of Scuderi into the top four, I don't know how else it was avoidable. Even though he plays like a bottom six on this team, he probably is a top four. I don't know how you avoid it unless you're trusting somebody with less of a track record. Like Lovejoy? I mean, who becomes one of your top four then? Lovejoy? Clendenning? Eric Cole, not Eric Cole, Ian Cole.
Yeah,
that's who I
Dumoulin. Yeah, so Ian Cole is probably the other one, and then Dumoulin. Now you've got bottom two of Dumoulin and Lovejoy. How does that make you feel when that pair is out on the ice?
They, by the way, Dallas was the number one or two offensive team in the league last year. So people think of Dallas and maybe. Roll your eyes, boring game for the opener, but this could be 8-6 tomorrow.
Are you
night.
Kidding me? Oh, this is going to be a shootout. Yeah, Dallas will score some goals. You got Sagan, you got Ben. You know, this team I think can definitely be fun to watch.
Yeah, they got four good defensemen. Goligoski's still there.
Did you see that Puck Daddy piece that came out yesterday? Talking about overhyped, overrated teams, players, things like that. And the Penguins, I think the Stars too, were pretty prominently mentioned on a few of the lists.
I don't think they're getting that much hype, though. I mean,
who are the
maybe
Penguins?
We're sensitive to it in town here. The people are down on them, like Rossi and some others. But
Puck Daddy has, seven different people on their own staff, and they filled out who they think is the most overhyped team. And one, two, three of them said the Penguins. Most overhyped player, Phil Kessel got a vote. Most first coach fired, I guess Mike Johnson didn't make that list. They did say best three-on-three team. A couple people said the Penguins. One said the Dallas Stars, so let's root for three-on-three. They had their own category for Phil Kessel's goal total. It ranged anywhere from 34 to 52 for Phil Kessel. Most people in the 40s. And biggest free agent bust, they didn't have anybody there for the Penguins. Carl Soderberg got a couple votes. Spoleski got a couple votes. And then Franzen, Boschman, Sakara, Matt Poleski.
I'm looking forward to the season. I mean, tonight's all about baseball, of course, but that'll be tomorrow. I had a fantasy hockey draft last night with some of my in-laws from Montreal. One guy took Yager as Mr. Irrelevant just because he grew the mullet back. So I really appreciated that from the draft last night.
Has he grown it back or is it in the process of growing now? I didn't notice it. I didn't notice the mullet so much in the bedroom
shot. That's
true.
Right.
I was looking at her.
He'll make it his mission this year, right? To work around the clock to get it back. Or was that a fan who said that? I don't know. There was a post about this. Maybe I've not read enough. Yeah, here's Yager. He says, we have to wear helmets, so that's why I'm growing my hair back out. I'm growing it back out. I have to. End quote. Okay.
Another drug issue for the NHL, too. This time it's Sean Avery, so that only kind of half counts. He's not in the league anymore, but he got busted with Oxy and something else. He insists that he has prescriptions for it, but he was throwing something at cars. He was throwing in his neighborhood. He was throwing crap at cars.
Of course he was.
He was standing in front of cars with his hockey stick.
Where's he live?
Long Island.
Guy threw cars there once. Threw rocks at cars there once. Just out of spite.
He was throwing his herpes medication there.
What do you think
that's what he's got the Oxy for?
What will Rafi Torres be doing for the next 41 games?
Wow.
In San Jose, throwing rocks at cars too?
Rafi Torres, they put together on that NHL. I've never seen one of those NHL videos that was so intentionally out to get the person that did what he did. Rafi Torres, they put together what amounted to a greatest hits collection of his illegal headshots at the end. Here's why Rafi Torres has been suspended for 41 games. And they just went hit by hit by hit by hit. And each one is dirtier than the last one. He got 41 games. I don't even know if it's enough at this point. This guy's just, he's never going to learn. He's going to keep doing it. Almost on purpose at this point.
I mean, I guess that he won't be in the league if he doesn't keep doing it. So until you get, his last suspension was what, 15 games? No, 6 games. He went from 6 to 41. Is that the jump?
Well, it's the biggest suspension in history for a hit, right?
Yeah, but if you're getting a 6-game suspension, does that really dissuade you? 41, okay, finally, yeah. They're getting tough on it.
Exactly half a season.
Maybe this will now change him. Like, it took Matt Cook that long playoff run getting suspended to actually see some tangible change in his behavior.
Ken, did you see Ronda Rousey on Fallon last night?
No, I missed it.
Well, she's wearing a plunging dress where the neckline goes all the way down to the navel. She's just trying real hard. Ken, this is the ultimate example of she's not that hot. She's wearing, you know, a dress that...
You're just a hater.
Jennifer Lopez should be wearing or something like that.
And I like
she's an athlete. You put in a separate category of hot athletes.
And she's waxing her legs like...
She's not,
you know,
Kate Upton.
Ava
Nobody's
Longoria
expecting
does.
Her to be.
It's just, it's too much. I do like the new video they put out to hype the fight, though, where her little sister is in the video playing her as a younger her. Have you seen that one?
No.
She's 17. Apparently, Rousey has a 17-year-old sister, and the sister is playing her getting into judo. It's just sort of a montage of how her and her opponent, Holly Holm, is that who she's fighting? How they got into fighting, how they got into MMA. And it's, you know, one of these montages where there's no narration, but it's them as they grow up from little kids. And Rousey's sister plays her. It's pretty well done.
Floyd Mayweather, by the way, is still pretending he doesn't know who she is when asked about her.
How could you not know who she is? She's on TV every 8 seconds.
Has Floyd Mayweather been on Fallon?
This plunging dress is excellent, Tim. What are you complaining about here?
You saw it? You've got it up on...
I just put up a little gif here. Wow.
You want us to want to take a break here?
Tim's in love with the Tyler Johnson flinger.
Yeah. Flinger.
Let's listen in to Tim and Jared Hughes from yesterday while I gather myself.
Ew. I don't care what you do with yourself with Ronda Rousey up on your TV screen, but the thought of me and Jared Hughes in the background while you do it makes me feel weird.
No, why'd you have to go there? Jeez,
you said John Nogam's going to get introduced tonight, right?
Did he tell you that, Tim?
Walk is going to throw out the first pitch, correct?
Bob Walk, yeah.
I don't get that so much. Why Bob Walk? Because he won game five against the Braves, is that it?
No Michael Keaton?
Yeah, where's the crowd pop there? We can get Walky any day of the week.
Who would be the most appropriate guy to throw out the first pitch?
Ronda Rousey.
You jagoff.
That's a good question. I wonder,
I told you, Jung Ho. Jung Ho would be mine.
I wonder if Gong is capable. I wonder, is he capable right now to stand to do it?
Out the first pitch. That'd be something. Is that legal? Can you have a player?
Hell yeah.
What do you mean legal? What are they going to do?
I don't care if he's got to do it from a wheelchair.
Doc Gregory Polanco a ball because it was like a balk on the hill? What do you mean legal?
Well, I don't know. He's not on the active roster, but he's a rostered player. I don't know if there's a rule against that. There's some weird rules in this league.
Did Doug Drabik do it last year?
Doug Drabik, I thought, did it the first year.
Okay.
Yeah, he did do it the first year.
That's a good one.
Teague might have done it last year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Maybe you should throw it at Chris Coughlin. They should have Jung Ho just turn and whale one right at Coughlin before the game starts. There was a hard slide in the Yankees game last night.
Yeah,
too,
and that was very late, too.
Did you see that? I can't believe he's walking.
Didi
Gregorius didn't start the slide until he was on top
right,
of the white
base. Right, and that's the real infraction of the rule. You got to start the slide. You can't start the slide at the base.
He was on the base when he went down and took out Jose Altuve. Yeah, Jose Altuve is lucky that both of his legs work right now.
It's Jagoff of the Week Wednesday here on Trib Live Radio.
That was a Jagoff slide.
It was. We're voting for, replacing the Penguins organization here this week. They were winners last week after not sending Sidney Crosby to Johnstown for Hockeyville USA in the big preseason telecast. Votes today, Arrieta, Tyler Johnson's mystery girl on Jimmy Kimmel, Ryan Tannehill, Josh Scobie, NFL refs all getting votes today, Ray Lewis, Steve Smith, Tim Benz. A Rafi Torres vote just came in, so Rafi's on the board. You can make a difference. SportsTalk@TribWeb.com.
Now, Ken, she looks fantastic in this montage of photos where she went down to Melbourne, Australia, where she went down to promote MMA in Melbourne, Australia. She's goofing around with some Australian League football team. Here she looks good because she's not trying too hard. She's got black jeans on. She's got a black leather jacket on. She's got high heel pumps. This works for me. Okay, I'm in here. When she tries to make herself look like a model, it's just too much.
She's going to give you the arm bar, and then you're going to...
I like him both ways.
Thank you, guy. You talked to Jared Hughes yesterday, Tim, about really more of the 2 out of 3 wild card format, right? And
Well, we talked about that. We talked about a lot of things, actually. It wasn't just the format, but we talked about a lot of different topics.
I could see Hughes getting in tonight. I mean, definitely for a double play ball, right, in a 6th, 7th inning scenario. It would be he could be the first reliever in tonight.
Or he could be the one to throw at Jake Arrieta to get him out of the game.
Or that. Here's Tim's one-on-one chat with Jared Hughes from yesterday. And coming up at the other side of this, Jordan Bernfield going to join us to get a Cubs perspective from 670, the score in Chicago, here on the Trib Live Radio Morning Show.
From a bullpen guy's point of view, with two good starters going like you got, do you feel a heightened sense of importance because it's entirely possible you're getting into a nothing-nothing 1-1 game? Or as bullpen guys, are you like a lot of folks in the stands that feel like you're going to be sitting back and watching a show for the better part of 9?
Well, yeah, I don't know. I think that it's definitely going to be a well-pitched game. You just look at these guys we got going, and it looks like they're going to really attack the zone and go deep into the game. That's what you'd hope, but I'll be ready at any point in time whenever I'm needed to go out there, and I'll be excited to have a chance to pitch.
When Melanson got the last out to conclude the regular season, I know the cameras caught Cole kind of looking skyward and taking a big deep breath, and you know, it kind of felt like a moment of realization type of thing, like, okay, this is my game to go out there and pitch now. And he sort of brushed it off as saying, well, it's just the end of a regular season. But there seemed to be that acknowledgement of this is going to be my ball to take and my game to go win.
Oh, there's no doubt that I'm sure he's going to be he's excited to have the ball, and he's super focused. I'd imagine, yeah, the other day was probably just, okay, you know, the regular season's over, it's time to get into the playoffs here. I'd say for Cole, though, yeah, focus is never an issue. That guy is super focused, super competitive, and he's going to take that ball with aggression.
Jared Hughes with us. As far as your approach to getting the Cubs out as opposed to maybe Garrett's, you know, he's got to worry about sequencing and facing guys 3 to maybe 4 times throughout the lineup. You just have to go with these guys in all likelihood once.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's. I mean, I know what I've done against them in the past. I know their strengths. I know my strengths. And yeah, one time I just going to go out there and execute the pitches. That's all I can really do is just really execute the pitch and let the defense take it from there. So I think that yeah, definitely the focus is going to be there. And it's always there. So, yeah, I definitely am going to go out there my one time, or however many times, and focus.
This is your lot. The die is cast. There's nothing you can do about it. It's a one-game playoff. But is there a sense of, boy, I'd really like to see Lester against Happ, Liriano versus Herron? Should there be a best two out of three instead of a one-gamer for the wild card?
I think it's something that should be talked about, for sure. I think a lot of people would agree with that. I don't know if that's necessarily the best option, but I think it should be talked about. And then they can make the best option. But I like this, too, at the same time. I mean, you know, it's mano-a-mano, one game. And I think the fans might enjoy that a lot because they all get to see, you know, one game. Here we go. It's going to be more people are going to be watching. It's going to mean more. So there's two sides to that coin. One is it means more. And two is maybe three best out of three would be better. But I don't know. For me, personally, I'm just going to go out there tomorrow and help our team win this game.
Clearly some concessions would have to be made. And Clint just spoke to this when he was asked about it. You know, you don't want to have the team that won the most have to sit around and wait for 5 days. You know, the MLBPA might have to sign off on having scheduled doubleheaders, or, you know, they might have to build in a couple of days or take away a couple regular season games. There would be some exchange that would have to be given. Any of that make sense, or any of that as a red flag to you, we definitely wouldn't want to do something?
You know, I don't know. I think that's definitely that's a good point. That's the first I've even heard about that, doubleheaders. But I think it was something
that way you can keep 162 and not have the whole, you know, the overall champion of the league sit around and wait forever.
Yeah, that totally. I mean, that makes sense to me. I think it's something that needs to be brought up in discussion because to me it might make sense, but to a bunch of other guys it might not. Right? I'm coming at it from the perspective of a middle relief bullpen pitcher, but a guy who's playing 18 innings behind home plate might have a different opinion on a doubleheader in that regard. So, I don't know. I think it's a good idea, one I haven't thought of. But things like that, the more people talk about it, the better ideas it will be. And something come up that could be better than this, or if not, let's stick to this.
Duffy's Beer and much more in Pleasant Hills. 412-653-BEER. See all of our specials at duffysbeer.com. Duffy's has an amazing selection of craft and local beers, including some hard-to-find brews. They're also fully stocked on the supplies you need to make your own craft brew, over 40 varieties of hops and grains as well, and 30 varieties of yeast. Whether you're just starting out or you're an experienced brewer, Duffy's has you covered. Duffy's Beer and much more. Online at duffysbeer.com.
Woods Jewelers, fine jewelry, the diamond people. Located in the Countryside Shopping Center in Mount Pleasant, Pennsylvania. Trophies and awards, we do it all. Design it, build it, engrave it. No order is too small or too large. Call Woods Jewelers for more information at 724-547-5742. That's 724-547-5742.